It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 491. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. And I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. I have a couple voicemail messages waiting. I have not had time to download and get them ready for the show, and you'll hear why in a couple minutes. Lucky I'm even recording a show tonight. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also MikeNationNet on Facebook. And don't forget the wiki at mtswiki.com. Well, last week I was sick, and there was no way I could record. Sore throat, coughing, sneezing. This is my second round with a cold and flu-like symptoms. It's horrible. And this weather, we're being bombarded with it, just a terrible, terrible winter. And what I went through two nights ago is unbelievable. The ice storm that we were hit with in the Northeast Corridor here in Pennsylvania has done more damage to my house and to my area than Hurricane Sandy, that Superstorm Sandy. I have no power. My power went out at 4 a.m. yesterday. This is Thursday, February 6th. The morning of February 5th, the power went out at 4 a.m., and I am so lucky that I had my generator positioned and tested over the summer, and we had to put it in place. And I am recording this show with all of my equipment, my dual monitors, my mixer, my camera, and I am running on a generator. It is the Honda Black Max. Well, it's a Honda engine. The Black Max 7,000 watt portable gas generator. It's got an electric start. And 5:30 in the morning yesterday, I'm out holding a flashlight in my teeth as I'm hooking the main cord up to a panel that's on the wall that my electrician set up a whole separate panel with circuit breakers just for the generator. So there's just one massive cable that has to be plugged into the generator, plugged it in, then adjusted the clutch, hit the electronic start, took a second, you know, because it was so cold and been sitting there, and it turned over, and I'm hearing the generator, and it's running, and then it turns off. And I'm like, no, what happened? There's a little knob for the fuel to stop the fuel from flowing from the, I guess, from the main gas tank, and you have to have that on. So I realized that, turned it on, then started it again. And then you have to let it run for about 30 seconds when you've got that constant engine running. Then you push the clutch back in because it was a cold start. Now for the big test, I go into, it's really the panel is right beside my main panel for the house in our laundry room where the washer and dryer are. I throw the one switch for the laundry room so I can get a light. And I throw the light switch in that room and it works. What would the second circuit to turn on be? There's one marked Fios. This is for the garage where the Fios comes in. I throw that. Then I throw my office, which is this room. Then the two refrigerators, because there is a refrigerator in my room, and I learned something, and there's a refrigerator, a main one, in my kitchen. Now, I didn't want to run both refrigerators because I figured you don't need to have both of them on at the same time, because as long as you don't open the refrigerator door, you get a few hours where it's cold. So I figured I would cycle that while I learned something. When I turned off the refrigerator in the office, my internet went down here because there are circuits that are tied together with the same circuit that my refrigerator's on in this room. And I did not know that. So I got to talk to my electrician about that. So that was a great test, something I found out. Then I turned on the bedrooms and, you know, there's like 8 different breakers. And we turned on 6, I did. Once I got that going and I seen lights could work, now my concern is, where do we get gas in in cans to be able to service this if this is a prolonged outage? And I knew it was going to be prolonged because I turned the TV on, listening to the weather reports, the roads, the power outage that I'm involved in right now in my neighborhood, just my section, there are 7,600 homes and businesses in my neighborhood that has no power right now. We don't have traffic lights. You would think that I'm in a third world country or something. I can't believe that PECO in our area, and I know they're dealing with terrible icing conditions and down lines. We're talking 500,000 people just in the Pennsylvania, just in my area here. The weight of the ice on existing trees around my property has caused a personal nightmare for me that I'm dealing with and I'm going to have to deal with. I'm lucky that the house hasn't really been impacted except for some siding came off of the house and one tree totally snapped beside my house. Half of it is leaning on the house, but it's not a real heavy tree. I'm lucky. The other half came down and missed my car by inches. The back of the house, we got 4 huge trees that have snapped like toothpicks. These are 100-foot trees that have just snapped. That cleanup and that mess I got to deal with. Now, what is this with tech? Well, here's the thing. When you have emergencies like this and I have retainer clients, now my clients in the same neighborhood are dealing with emergencies. They don't have power. One client had power for yesterday and today doesn't have power. And now they don't have email. So one of the things that they were like, oh my God, we don't have email. And I told them, for disaster recovery and for business continuity, they should have email in the cloud-based. So this way you don't have to worry if you're trapped, your building has no power, you can't get to your Exchange server. Well, we had a great discussion today with the president of that company. Next week, everything is going to the cloud because we found out we're probably not going to get power till late Friday night. That means there's going to be another day where their business is closed. So I'm now seeing businesses that are executing their business continuity plans. They want help with that at the same time I'm dealing with personal emergencies for myself. Now, a lot of my clients understood and I just helped them with some quickie solutions for things or, you know, they had a question and they have been very supportive. Now that I got everything settled down, I got regular flow for gasoline. I got lots of cans to replenish the generator. And I have everything stabilized at my house. And I can now, obviously, my system is running great. I now can service my clients better tomorrow, which is Friday and Saturday. As a matter of fact, I talked with Ken, who works for me part-time. He's coming over Saturday. And we got a long list of things we're going to do for clients and knock stuff out. I've literally stacked Monday with an amazing amount of clients that I'm going to try to hit. So right now I got 4 clients I'm visiting on Monday. So all of this really starts to test your prioritization of tasks. And that's what it comes down to. And if you were a paid, up-to-date retainer client, you got my immediate attention. If you were not a retainer client, or if you were a retainer client that you're way overdue in money, you didn't get help from me yesterday. And only some of them got callbacks today. And that's just the way it is. And this is how you got to prioritize. And this is why my main clients, clients that have been with me for a long time, that are paid retainer clients, that means they pay monthly, quarterly for my support. They have a question, I'm all over it, giving them solutions and taking care of it. And I was juggling that with now scheduling out next week some of the other work that's not quite priority. So I have 4 clients that are not retainers that need little things fixed. And that's going to happen on Saturday. Someone's Java is not working right. You know, I emailed them back from my iPhone and said, I'm going to remote in over the weekend. I'll give you a call and I will solve it. And I said, because right now I'm being crushed with emergencies. And they understood. I prioritized everything. I have a list of things I'm going to take care of tomorrow for clients. And then all my secondary work and non-emergency work is going to happen Saturday, where I'm going to help my clients. And thank God I have the generator that my company is up and running and I can continue to work and do my Mike Tech show. I am so happy that everything is working great on generator. You know, we talked about this for years. I've had power outages that I wasn't able to do a show, and it was great to be able to put this all together and have everything come about where I could do the show. And I was very excited to get go on the air tonight. And I'm operating on only a couple hours sleep. And I'm just really, really excited to be able to bring this to you. So with all of that, let's first, everybody who's been dealing with Log Me In, you know, that's been a real pain. And I've slowly gotten a lot of clients that have some of the older clients that I had Log Me In, I had to convert to unattended mode for instant house call. Now, there's going to be a link in the show notes tonight where you can still get 30% off for instant house call. Now, you know, the last show I did 2 weeks ago, I dedicated most of the show talking about instant house call. That's a great alternative for you and an excellent service if you're looking for a remote access solution, and take advantage of that 30% off. And that's the Log Me Out slogans. Thank you for Instant House Call being a sponsor and for stepping up with the 30% discount. And I've got almost everybody converted to unattended mode. So let's dive right into the email. And this is from Taz Cools in the chat, who's Mike. And he sent a link that is very cool from Popular Mechanics, 10 apps for the self-employed. I was looking through this, and of course, I have a lot of them, but there are some that I do not have. So I was very excited to look at this. Hours Tracker is the first one. Now, I have Time Logger, but this is really, really nice, this Hours Tracker. I'm going to give that a look at. Of course, Evernote. Evernote is required. That is a required app. You got to manage your time. You got to, it's required. Square Register, required. If you're in the business, so you could take a credit card. That is awesome for Square. Microsoft SkyDrive, I use Box, so I'm not into SkyDrive. Juice Defender. Now, I don't know Juice Defender. I'll give you the description here. It's for the Android, and it's only $1.99. It's pretty hard to do business when your smartphone battery is dead. Juice Defender keeps it charged longer by automatically and transparently managing the most battery-draining functions of your phone. QuickBooks Mobile. Number seven is MSecure Password Manager. I have not worked with that. It's the mobile app is only $9.99. I'm going to see if they have like a free trial. I might give that a look for the password manager. Then there's Smart Tools, and that's for the Android. And any good craftsman has a set of trusty tools by his or her side. And if you ever need to measure something and find yourself without those tools, but with your Android smartphone, there's Smart Tools. And it's a package of five app sets that lets you gauge things such as length, angle, slope, distance, height, width, direction, and sound using all these various sensors inside the phones. Wow, that's pretty cool. That was app 8. And then Tasks Free, I'm going to look at that. That's free, but that's only Android. I'd like to get an equivalent of that for the iPhone. And then we got the last one is the TripLog GPS mileage. Very important. When you're self-employed, you need to keep track of your mileage. And that's something I do a very bad job of, keeping track of my mileage. And my bookkeeper and accountant always want to smack my hand saying, Mike, you don't do a good job of tracking your mileage and your tolls. And well, tolls are easy because I can go on to the site for Pennsylvania for the tolls, and I can always download the past year of all of the charges and, you know, highlight them for the ones that are business related. So that's not too bad, but it's the mileage. Now, you know how I love hearing about different apps and sharing them with you. I think that's awesome. And it's what you, besides the stories of in the trenches, it's what I get the most feedback for. Boy, Mike, I never heard of that until, you know, listening to your show. And it's great. Well, Kate sent this very cool links and utilities. I think you might have mentioned this utility before. And no, I didn't. And even if you did, it's worth another mention, because it's been improved. It's called the Windows System Control Center. It's a free utility that combines NurseSoft and SysInternals utilities in one beautifully organized package. We need to hear what this utility does. You can install it or use the portable version. Of course, you know, we love the portable version here. That's it's always easier to run off your USB stick. I think there were 168 separate utilities when I set this up. It's easy then to update and check for new utilities, and they're categorized, so I don't actually have to remember the name of the thing I'm looking for. If I need a password utility, I look under password recovery, and each utility has a one-sentence description. This is a program that will update all of the SysInternal apps and all of the NurseSoft apps. I would love one feature, but not this utility, or maybe it's something we could add. I would love this program to be able to be customized to add the utilities that I use that would automatically update. Wouldn't it be great to hit one button and get all of our malware and anti-malware and programs that we use, like tweaking.com's all in one, and rkill and combo fix and junkware removal tool. Wouldn't it be great to be able to click one button and it just goes to all those sites and updates those programs into a place where you don't have to go to each site and download the program because they're constantly updating? That's what this does, but only for the NurseSoft utilities and SysInternals, which are great. All those utilities, we've talked about a lot of them individually, which is phenomenal. So to be able to just have a one place to update everything, that's great. To continue, the only problem I have with this is the same problem I have when I download or run individual NurseSoft utilities. Avast Free and Malwarebytes Pro both go nuts blocking and quarantining things. At customer sites, I've had Norton, McAfee, and Trend Micro absolutely refuse to let me run password recovery tools. Unfortunately, the very same people who rely on Norton seem also never to write down their passwords. You need to add the folder to the exceptions in Malwarebytes, which I've done a lot, and whatever antivirus package is on the machine that you're working on. We have the link, and then also Kate came across this in the RSS feed for Gizmo Richards tech support alert website. So we were talking about different RSS feeds for security sites. So here's another one, and it's a link that we want to add to our RSS feeds for security sites. I've been adding them based on the emails that I get over the last few shows. I will consolidate them and put them into one RSS feed for you at some point, so you can just click on that and download it. I'm finding it a lot easier to have this one utility on my flash drive than trying to keep up with every NERSOFT update for the dozen or so utilities that I typically need. Also, I found new things. Hope this helps you and your listeners out. Kate, thank you. Awesome, awesome recommendation. This is from DJ. I wrote a couple shows back about an issue I was having with my email and Outlook showing up as being read when I had not opened it on the desktop. You hit it right on the head by making me think out of the box. I rarely used IMAP in the past, but now with multiple devices accessing the same email, it was a notebook, Android phone, and a desktop, it is definitely easier to set things up with it today. I had forgotten that I set up both my PC and notebook with this particular email account on IMAP to make life easier, or so I thought, in reading and tracking email. Since I wasn't using my notebook daily, my desktop Outlook would go for a couple days showing unread items. Then all of a sudden, everything would come up as being read. It wasn't consistent. Of course, because my use of the notebook wasn't consistent, which made it hard to troubleshoot. I also didn't have this email account on my cell phone at the time either. But since you mentioned thinking out of the box, I verified that you are 100% correct and the account is on IMAP and is on my notebook. Therefore, the random changes of email to read now makes it a lot of sense. Thank you and keep up the great shows. I am so glad I was able to help DJ, and thanks for following up with that. This is from Derek. Mike, longtime listener, and of course, love the show. I tried to catch the Mike Tech Show and Tech Vets went on trips to client locations. Nice way to pass the time and learn something. Anyhow, I heard how you were having issues with Dell's customer service. You're definitely not alone. I think their Optiplex units are still rock solid hardware-wise, but their reps on the phone are hit and miss these days. I still happen to love their server line, the PowerEdge, as their support for those products is top-notch and mostly American-based still. But who knows how long that will last. I agree with that assessment of the Dell PowerEdge line. I thought I would let you know that I have had as good or better reliability and price points from Lenovo's ThinkCenter line of business machines, specifically their non-edge model of ThinkCenter units. Not only do they use great parts and have excellent serviceability, but the non-edge models all come with standard 3-year on-site warranties. And yes, we sell these to home customers a lot too, and they will come out to the home to service the machine for issues like motherboard replacements, hard drive failures, etc. And their support for their machines is all American-based from my experience. They even proudly state that your call is being routed to their call center in Atlanta, Georgia, even for calls late into the night. And they don't hound you about calling in with the right owner information when you need service. Their warranty is tied to the serial number of the machine, and they really don't care who is making the call. That's awesome. Saves me a ton of time compared to Dell calls. There are so many places you can source these machines, including great vendors like CostCentral.com and nextwarehouse.com, in addition to Newegg and CDW and the traditional regulars. Clients can get solid tower or desktop style machines with 4 gigs of RAM, Windows 7 Pro, Intel i3, or better processors, 250 gig and larger hard drives, and of course, the 3-year warranty for under $590 per unit before tax. Knock on wood, but we have had excellent reliability from all the units we've put into production for all kinds of clients. They're workhorses, and they refuse to die. We probably install about 20 to 30 of them per year at this point for clients and have only had one semi-lemon experience 2 years back. Hope this helps you out. And I was in the same shoes as you and looking for a solid business-level desktop for customers. We have good luck with HP and Dell business units too, but Lenovo is our go-to vendor at this point. Good luck and keep it up. Derek, thank you for that assessment and review of Lenovo. It's something that I put out there. You know, who what are you using for your customers that you trust and you like their support, the reliability for the hardware? And it's great to have an option like that. Thank you. This is Andy, and the title, Ransomware. I am not sure if this is relevant in the U.S. or the rest of the world, but it is in England. When someone gets the police or FBI ransomware virus, they can contact the police and get a crime number, as it is an offense to impersonate the police. After they pay for someone like me or you to remove the virus, they can claim the cost against their insurance, probably their homeowner's insurance policy. Just thought I would let you know, as a client of mine successfully did this. If this is true for the U.S., it might be a good idea for you to mention it to your clients. I'm sure they will be grateful for the suggestion. Regards, Andy. And he is near Liverpool, England. Andy, what a great recommendation for us to look into. And not just this country, but where Kate's from Canada and other, you know, other countries. I'm not familiar with the laws. You're right. If you're impersonating the FBI and that's a crime and you put that crime number and then I've spent a couple hours to fix it, it's an idea. The only thing is that if it's only a few hours of support, it depends what your deductible is on your homeowner's policy, because it may not be worth reporting it if the deductible is, let's say you have a $500 deductible and it only costs $200 to fix it. Well, you're not going to report that because you don't want to be charged for an incident, because after two incidents on a homeowner's policy, that's it. Your rate's going up. As a matter of fact, I'm going through this now because I had damage from that Superstorm Sandy, and now I'm getting damage from this ice storm that just happened. I got to tally that up and see just how much it is. Is it going to offset the increase that I'm going to see as a percentage of my policy? Because it may not be worth it. So this is something that you have to take into account, everything. What a great idea, which we love thinking out of the box for options. Thank you. This is from John. Hi, Mike. First off, I want to thank you for the Mike Tech Show. Great quality content, and I enjoy listening to all of the tricks of the trade. I work for a school district, and we have a bunch of hard drives from old desktops that we used to have, but the computers have been decommissioned. Is there a utility that you would recommend for testing the hard drive to know if they are suitable for redeployment? Well, the Crystal Disk Info, of course, is my first go-to utility, but it is not the end-all. It's the first utility that I like to use because you can stage that drive using a cable or one of the adapters. I have one that it's a little round, I forget the name, a little box that just plugs in via USB, and I can drop a hard drive in it, and now it appears as an external drive, and you know, I can test it. But go to the manufacturer. If it's Seagate, if it's Western Digital, they all have their own set of utilities that you can use to do some further testing of the drive. I went through the show notes and searched for terms, and he couldn't find anything on my page. Sorry about that. I know I've done a show talking about hard drive utilities, but you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, it might have been Tech Vets and not the Mike Tech Show. So I'll link to the Tech Vets show that we talked about all those utilities. I've considered using SpinRite, but don't know if it will be approved for purchasing from my department. SpinRite, I look at as a program that will help repair a drive that's having problems. What do you recommend for free hard drive diagnostics? I recommend all the utilities that comes from the manufacturer and use that utility. And as I said, I will try to find those links. And this is John. Thank you very much for your email. This came up in the pre-show. Bill Gates spends an entire first day back in the office trying to install Windows 8. And this is from the New Yorker. And this was sent to me by Frank Earle. And I will have a link. That's kind of funny. And just goes along with my thinking of 8.1. Glad to hear that. This is from Andrew. And it's a Windows 8 issue. Dear Mike, I can't seem to find any quick answers about this on Google. As a PC tech that constantly has client computers connected to the same LAN that my main system is on, Windows 8 seems to be connecting to these machines and showing them in both my desktops, in my devices and printers, and also in my Windows Explorer. I have attached screenshots of both. This is very frustrating as I can only seem to remove them one at a time, and their listing clutters both areas. Do you or any of your listeners know how to remove them quickly, or better yet, change a setting that won't allow them to be in the first place? Thanks. Would this be maybe not allowing the operating system to be discoverable on the network? I don't know if you want to turn, I don't know if you want to disable that on a particular operating system, but if anybody has any help, now I'm not sharing the screenshots, but I hope I explained it enough. Is there a way to turn off these being viewed in the other operating systems? As I wrap up, a couple things. One, continue to use my Amazon link. Thank you so much for all of your support. My link is amazon.micnation.net. There, your price is the same, but a small commission helps support the Mike Tech Show. As I always say, keeps the lights on, keeps the generator running when we're out without power. So, that's a great help. Also, I want to mention Matt Rodella's book, How to Quit Your Job and Start a Computer Business. Link will be in the show notes. If you use the code MIKE20, you're going to save 20% off the list price. It's a great little ebook. You've heard me talk about it. I love the different anecdotes and the different things that get you to think. Whether you are starting your own business or even if you're just thinking about it, certainly every chapter you're not going to be able, some of you might be able to use every chapter, but those little nuggets that will get you to think of other ways of getting customers that you just didn't think about that are now available to you, or how to market your business. It makes you think. And it gives you some great ideas that you can then follow up on. So I highly recommend that book. And again, that's How to Quit Your Job and Start a Computer Business. That's it. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed. Remember the Mike Tech Show meetup for show 500 in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania is Saturday, March 22nd. And if you are going to be attending, please send me an email. I've got a lot of responses from everybody. I want to get a count. And then I am getting a hotel in the area where I can get a room where, you know, like a meeting, nice meeting room. And I want to have that sized appropriately. So hopefully you can attend. And it's also a Tech Vets meetup because Carrie Holzman will be there. It'll be a lot of fun. A great Saturday. If you're in the area, try to make it. If it's only a couple hour drive, try to get here. It's going to be a lot of fun. I want to thank everybody, and I am so glad that I was able to bring you the show tonight and get this recorded with no power from Pico, all supplied by my generator. So that's it. Talk to you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.